Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk about all things healing, pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. In our last episode, we talked about all of the things that you could potentially experience when you go the functional medicine route or the integrative medicine route. And most people will end up there after they've gone through all of the things that they could experience in the conventional side. And Jody sort of touched on this a little bit, and you might have even felt it yourself when I was going through and talking at my rapid pace like I do, when I was labeling all of the things that you could possibly get. Here's all these tests, and here's all these supplements, and here's all these things that you could have with dietary changes and things to avoid and all these recommendations that might be made, you might have felt a little bit overwhelmed. And that's exactly how you felt, right, Jody? As you were going through the experience. And so we wanted to give an entire episode to that feeling of overwhelm that is so prevalent in the PANS and PANDAS community and for parents, because while we're talking about PANS and PANDAS, we can't just talk about the kiddos, because they're not the only ones who are affected by it. The families as a whole are affected by it, and moms in particular are really profoundly affected by it. So we're going to talk about you too. And so here's one of our first mom-focused episodes, really, is to talk about the overwhelm and figuring out all of the things, all of the triggers, all of the things you have to avoid, all of the things you need to do. So, Jody, where would you like to start on this?
I think at the very beginning, like right when we first got started, I was so centered and focused on strep and like strep, like we got to find it. Where is it? And that was just really all I was worried about. But the further we got in and we started doing more tests, it was like, oh, like, what is this? What is that? Like all of the things started to show up. And it got over. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, even just the strep alone, I can't tell you, I don't know. I don't remember how intense you got with like the trying to find strep. For a lot of people, it ends up going from just not just finding it in the kiddo who is struggling and having symptoms, but now we have to test everybody in the family to see if anybody is a carrier that's causing it. We need to test the dog. We need to test our neighbors. We need to test everybody in the community that they regularly hang out with, because if anybody is a carrier, just having that exposure to it can cause flares in these kids. And so strep alone can be overwhelming, because you have to test and treat everybody, and then it becomes a treating somebody who's asymptomatic, and just a carrier of strep and not suffering, not struggling, not having any symptoms from it. But then you end up with symptoms from the treatment for that kiddo, and they end up with like gut dysbiosis and all sorts of things that can come on as a result of that, because they're being treated with antibiotics that aren't really necessary for them, but they're necessary for another member of the family. So I just want to make sure we address that too, that strep alone can be overwhelming.
Yes. And I remember going through that and almost like being afraid of the other family members in our house. Like I got to keep her away from siblings or whatever, you know, dad, if he's got, you know, a sore throat or anything. It's just, it was a lot, but we kept testing. And then all of a sudden, here's mycoplasma. And what do we do with that? And then here's Coxsackie and Epstein-Barr and all of the different things. And some of the, you know, active infections that Avery had, but also some of the infections that she was working through. And then we get, you know, what she has under control. And then it, like, I'm like, literally afraid of the world. I don't want to take her out of the house. School was just, the thought of school made me lose my mind. Her going into, around this time, she was going into kindergarten. So I knew what was coming. She had been in daycare, so she was exposed, but I'm like, okay, what do I do? Do I keep her out of school? Do I take her to this birthday party at this bounce house? Because there's going to be snotty little kids all over the place. There were just so many things that I felt like that I needed to avoid. And then we, you know, as we go along and we test more, and then all of a sudden this whole mold thing comes into our world. Yeah. And we realize that we are, you know, living in a house that has mold in it. So that's a whole another conversation. But then all of a sudden there are certain places where we have always gone that I'm concerned have mold. And it's like, I can't not take Avery to these certain places that we go, but all of a sudden I feel like I can't take her to these certain places. I felt like it was like I had to control her exposure to everything. And that was a heavy weight for me to take on, because Avery was a super, super social little girl. So the pull back and forth between what to do with school, I didn't want to put her in school and expose her to everything because it was going to make her worse. And if I took her out of school, that was going to expose her to it's going to not give her exposure to other people. And that's a big deal, that was a really important thing to her. So not knowing what to do with her, what to not do with her, was super confusing to me.
Yeah. Well, then you had the additive of the information you got from things your oat test and your micronutrient panel and the genetic testing, where suddenly now you have to, you were already kind of used to checking foods and having a strict diet because of your littlest one. Yeah. But she was always the easy one before then. Right. And so now it's now I have to, do it for two kids, and they have different needs for what they have. And like you even said yourself at the episode that we talked about community, that I caught, I don't know if anybody else caught this, that you said, if somebody would have made dinner for me and my husband, so I didn't have to make that, which means you were making three different meals. You were making mom and dad's meal and Avery's meal and little sister's meal. Mm-hmm. Every time you ate.
It was a lot. It was very, I don't even know. I just remember that we had, I had my little one's diet, which was a whole lot. And then I found out about, when we were in functional medicine, they're like, you got to take dairy, or she was already dairy free, but you got to take gluten away. You need to take this away, that away. And I was like, I went into a 2-week panic of how in the world am I going to do this? It's one more thing. And I'm still researching, and I'm still, seeking, treatment and other ways. And there was just so many factors, that the whole, being told that there was going to be more work in the kitchen was so overwhelming to me, because I spent so much time in the kitchen, and every time I would make a meal, I would have two children upset with me because they weren't eating exactly what they wanted to eat. I made myself sick because I was so tired of the whole cooking thing. By the time it got to making my food, even filling my plate, I was so tired. I just wanted to sit down, so I wouldn't eat. And I ended up getting, losing a whole bunch of weight, getting super more sick than I was from, my own health problems and living in the mold as well. It was a lot.
Yeah. So I'd like to dive into the symptom cycle that you felt stuck in at that time too, because you were feeling super overwhelmed, right? With all of these things that you needed to do, which is really common for parents. I mean, the symptoms itself that Pan's experiences is overwhelming, but then to have to deal with all of those symptoms and having, potentially being held hostage by your child's OCD, not by your child, but by their OCD. Mm-hmm. And potentially even fearful of their rage and their violent outbursts if they are a rage-filled child, concerned about safety for your other children, all of those things that come into it. And then you have to add on to it, the fear of interacting with other people, but then also the fear if they don't interact with other people, because what's going to happen to them socially and behaviorally as a result. And now the fear about these places, is my house even safe? And what do I do? And do I have to do I remediate if I find mold? Do I have to just move and burn everything to the ground and start again? Yeah. And the reality is, we'll talk about this in a future episode where we will talk about mold at some point, because it's an important topic for this community. But mold is not completely avoidable if you live in a place that has any running water in it. It's just, it's part of our life. And so one of the things that you really wanted to touch on was how this symptom cycle was just repeating and repeating and escalating, right? It wasn't just like going in circles, right? It was like an escalating circle like this, right? Mm-hmm. Where it was just going round and around and around, and like, let's throw in more supplements, let's throw in more medications, let's throw in more, you know, this therapy or whatever it happens to be. And it just, you know, keeps like, you know, spiraling upwards. And when you got to that point that you really understood whether you labeled it as susceptibility or not, where you actually started to get to that point of like, there's got to be something else. So can you talk a little bit about that, like upward spiral of symptoms out of control? And even while you were doing all of the things to avoid all of the possible triggers.
Yeah. I think that was like one of our constants was we were in this exact same cycle. It looked the same every single time of, you know, try a treatment, get a little bit better, stop the treatment, and then she would go back downhill. And that just over and over and over. And then, you know, after IVIG, things kicked up even more significantly. And we were like in this world of where she was having profound sadness. And, you know, there were other symptoms that she had never had before that started popping up. And so it's like, we were like going in circles, but like going upstairs at the same time, where it was just worse and worse and worse. And it just wasn't ever stopping. Like there was, again, a couple of things, we talked about this in the last episode, a couple of things that made it a little bit better, but everything just kept getting worse and worse. And at some point, it was shortly after IVIG when we didn't see any improvement, but just more worsening, that I was like, we can't, like, what is happening here? And that's the point where I was like, there's something missing. There is this one thing that I'm missing, but I don't know what it is. And I was still researching all the time, trying to figure it out. And it was coming to the realization that I had done all of the things other than plasmapheresis, which was, you know, I wasn't even in my mind. We had done everything that there was to do, and I wasn't okay with where she was. And as long as I kept doing what we had been doing, we would stay in the same exact cycle, not going anywhere, not making any progress, and potentially continuing to get worse. So I think that was my time period where I was like, okay, could there be something that I haven't looked at, that I haven't considered yet, that can get her out of this cycle that she's in? Mm-hmm.
And so really the truth is that it's because you weren't addressing the susceptibility, right? And so susceptibility is what we actually have to address to get these kiddos out of the cycle. And we've brought it up multiple times already through the various episodes on this podcast. And we'll continue to bring it up. As Jody said early on, she thinks that she'll probably talk about susceptibility almost every single episode, because it's just that important of a concept for people to understand why homeopathy is leading to like, you know, resuming life for these kids. I mean, it takes time. It's not an overnight type of thing, but it's getting these kids their lives back, because it actually addresses that susceptibility rather than just trying to manage symptoms or force the biochemistry.
It's literally it. It is the missing piece of the puzzle. And I still see it so often. And I have such a hard time when I see moms that are talking about, we did this, got better, and then we got worse again, got better, got worse again. And it's like, oh, that it's that piece of the puzzle that you're missing, that true, you know, healing and changing the susceptibility is that thing.
And as Jody had shared with you earlier, she was very skeptical about homeopathy. And if it weren't for the nudge from her doctor, she would not have sought it out. But we're going to stop here for today, and we will talk a little bit more about that experience helped her nudge her way to homeopathy in our next episode. So we'll see you there.